On behalf of the faculty and staff, I welcome you to this 64th annual commencement of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, a graduate division of Eastern Mennonite University. We've come together to recognize and to celebrate the accomplishments of these graduates and the support of many family members. This is an all-university commencement weekend, and we invite you to participate in as many activities as possible. It is with great joy that we celebrate this event in a commencement service of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Today, we honor 24 individuals who are graduating or receiving certificates and are committing themselves to the knowledge that God's hand is leading them and holding them fast. Our prayer for them is that they will always experience the anointing of God's calling upon their lives. You are being sent to bring good news. This afternoon, we offer thanks to God for these graduates and for their future ministries. We are also grateful for the support of faculty and family members and for the support of many contributors who believe in theological education. Dr. Michael King, Dean of the Seminary, will offer the invocation, after which Dr. Kenneth J. Nafziger, Professor of Music, will lead us in congregational singing. And following the hymns, the service will proceed as printed in your program without further announcement. Welcome.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, today we gather in your loving presence. We acknowledge you as the creator and sustainer of all that lives and breathes, and as the one within whom we move and have our being. We thank you for the marvelous works, the heights and depths and mysteries through which we sense and glimpse you within and among and around us. You are the one who calls us by name and orders our steps, even at times we're not aware of or may actively doubt it. Today we celebrate your providential guidance of these graduates and each one of us. We acknowledge you as our Redeemer and Lord, whose image we recognize most clearly in the face of Jesus Christ, the one who pitched his tent among us. You have called us to be your disciples, to become citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, to follow you as lifelong learners under the reign of God. We experience you as the Holy Spirit, whose still small voice guides us and whose winds at our backs empower us to do your will in the world. We invite your ongoing transforming presence and action in our lives as we celebrate with these graduates. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Turn in the blue hymnal to number 110.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my life be, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that is our sorrow sees, tis music to the sinner's ears, tis life and health and peace. He speaks and listening to his voice, to light the very sea, the mark of broken hearts rejoice, the humble poor believe. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever give. My saints below and saints above, the church in earth and heaven.
And from the green hymnal supplement, sing The Journey, number 91.
Thank you. At the request of our speaker, I will be reading from Psalm 78, the New English Bible translation. Mark my teaching, O my people. Listen to the words I am to speak. I will tell you a story with a meaning. I will expound the riddle of things past, things that we have heard and know, and our fathers have repeated to us. From their sons we will not hide the praises of the Lord and his might, nor the wonderful acts he has performed. Then they shall repeat them to the next generation. He laid in Jacob a solemn charge and established a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their sons, that it might be known to a future generation, to children yet unborn. And these would repeat it to their sons in turn. He charged them to put their trust in God, to hold his great acts ever in mind, and to keep all his commandments, not to do as their fathers did, a rebellious and disobedient race, a generation with no firm purpose, with hearts not fixed steadfastly on God.
It is my great pleasure this afternoon to introduce our guest speaker, Dr. Lee Snyder, President Emeritus, Bluffton University. Born on a farm in Oregon and raised in an Amish Mennonite community, Lee would describe her life and work as unexpected but immeasurably rewarding. After a three-year mission assignment in West Africa, Dell and Lee moved to Virginia for Dell's math position at Eastern Mennonite University. Lee continued graduate work in English literature, which eventually led to administrative and teaching opportunities. Following 12 years right here as EMU academic dean, Lee served 10 years as president of Bluffton University in Ohio. Other professional involvements include writing, brief international assignments, and serving on various boards. Her recent publications, among many, include Leadership in the Fifth Dimension, Balancing Time with the Timeless, and the collection Thriving in Leadership, edited by Karen Longman, and her memoir, At Powerline and Diamond Hill, Unexpected Intersections of Life and Work. I had the privilege of releasing Lee's memoir through my publishing company just as I was becoming dean-elect of EMS, and will always warmly remember Lee's and my interchanges as I nurtured her book and she encouraged me through the search process. Lee, always with a stack of books awaiting, enjoys travel and spending time with family. Lee and Dell have two daughters and four grandchildren. With family on both West and East Coasts, Lee and Dell divide their time between Harrisonburg and Salem, Oregon. Lee, it's a true pleasure to welcome you. Blessings as you speak.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Michael. I love beginnings and endings, whether it's a good novel or an academic year. Today marks an ending and a beginning, a time to celebrate with family, with friends, and those teachers and guides along the way who've been a part of the graduate's journey. You graduates won't remember this address, but the ceremony itself signals an important passage in the course of finding your way, an occasion for each of you as the part of the class of 2013 to affirm your calling as a part of God's larger purposes. As seminary graduates, you're much better versed than I in the particular challenges that await as you pursue leadership roles in your churches and communities. You know better than I do the significance of the data that the pollsters regularly roll out, probing the health and well-being of the church, the warnings about denominations shriveling up before our eyes, the pronouncements of self-appointed prophets stoking fears of a country that has lost its moral footing. In a time of declining U.S. church membership, we are informed by religion surveys that currently the largest area of growth is the non-affiliated. You may recall last spring's Newsweek cover story with the blazing caption, "Forget the Church, Follow Jesus," portraying an ordinary-looking guy in a plaid shirt and an all-weather jacket. He looked beatific with a crown of thorns and Jesus-length hair, taxicabs and glaring city lights forming the background. Christianity has been destroyed by politics, priests, and get-rich evangelists, the lead-in blurb declares. Ignore them. Find your inner Jesus. In a recent online issue of the Mennonite World Review, Kate Baer's blog, entitled "Why We Don't Go to Church," must have hit a nerve because it prompted an extraordinary number of responses. Some supported Kate Baer's position and her individualistic perspective, but some challenged it. 2 decades ago, theologian Robert Jensen drew attention by a much-reproduced essay entitled "How the World Lost Its Story." In that piece, Jensen was attempting to explain a shift in religion and culture, attempting to tease out the edge points, the markers of what historians and theologians would describe as a transition from modern society to postmodernism. Could it be that in this new century, the church has lost its story? Have you noticed how many things are being lost? You have seen those lists of what someone has called the vanishing fixtures of everyday life. Things like regular mail, home phones, business cards, glove box road maps, desktop computers, and even passwords, cursive, phone books, and I could go on. The list is long. Fareed Zakaria, a cultural analyst, has predicted that more things will change in more places in the next 10 years than in the previous 100. And he predicts that we're not very well prepared for such a rate of change. What about the church? We hear a lot of moaning and groaning about the state of the church. The Reverend Mark Dyer, an Anglican bishop, has a slightly different take. From time to time, he observes, the only way to understand what is currently happening to us as 21st century Christians in North America is first to understand that every 500 years, the church feels compelled to hold a giant rummage sale. Reverend Dyer goes on to say that we are living in and through one of those times, a period when the empowered structures of the institutionalized church, whatever that form may be at the time, becomes a hard shell that must be shattered in order that renewal and new growth may occur. To give steadiness and meaning and direction for a time of unimaginable change, we go back to Scripture, to the text, which Jim read, which points us back to story, story with a meaning. I will tell you a story with a meaning. I will expound the riddle of things past, the things we have heard and know, and our fathers have repeated to us. In the account that follows, the narrator describes in glorious details the wonders of God's action in relation to the children of Abraham. The poet outlines with breathtaking beauty the song of Israel's redemption. That history is laced with terror, violence, and desperation. 72 verses reciting God's intervention in the fraught relationship between the Creator and the chosen people. These great acts of God acquire almost mythical proportion in the retelling, but this story is a necessary reminder for succeeding generations of God's great love and plan for redemption. We observe, even today, a keen hunger for story. Think of the recent election of Pope Francis. Around the world, we watch that drama of his selection, the suspense, waiting, watching for the black smoke signal or the white smoke signal. We found ourselves caught up in the personal anecdotes about this little-known Archbishop of Buenos Aires. Cardinal Bergoglio, trained as a chemist, lived simply, we learned. He refused the bishop's elegant residence, and instead he made do with a one-bedroom apartment and cooked his own meals. He took public transport. The glimpses into the life of Pope Francis, including his selection of a name, were eagerly embraced as a hopeful sign that the church was being called to something higher. As seminary students, your primary efforts have been in constructing meaning, in understanding the story with a capital S, and how the scripture conveys truth for our own time. Popular culture is not oblivious to the allure of the biblical drama. Just witness the recently concluded series on the History Channel, The Bible. Early reports were that more than 13 million viewers tuned in, surpassing only 12 million or so for AMC's The Walking Dead, one of the bafflingly popular dramas these days. There are those, however, who express caution about a re-emphasis on story, on a focus on biblical narrative and how we find our place in the God story. Professor and writer Leslie Leland Fields wonders if the church will survive what she describes as a sudden and unprecedented swoon into narrative. That's a quote. A condition she ascribes to the culture's saturation with the power of story. There's a fear that we mad-dash story lovers will displace doctrine and theology and truth with our own person-shaped narrative. There's the worry that we, instead of God, become the center, or that a writer's version of God will distort the scripture, as some think the Shack did a few years ago. Some labeled that bestseller as heresy, while others, no less than Eugene Peterson of The Message, suggested that perhaps that was a contemporary version of John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. I would argue that instead of fearing the power of story, we need to reclaim our part in bearing witness to the grand narrative. It is critical, as Leslie Leland Fields insists, that we remain grounded in the full range of scripture, in the poetry, the proverbs, the law, prophecy, exhortation, lament, riddle, letters, visions, genealogies, and prayers. We must avoid a simplistic, cultural, popular approach which detracts from the central message of the gospel. The biblical message is not a safe or a simple story, but then neither are our stories safe or simple, and often not even comprehensible. We join a cast of unlikely heroes, scruffy characters, and needy travelers on a journey of faith. Beloved of God, we are invited into a company of individuals who have experienced the Redeemer's transforming love. Reclaiming the story will enable us to live in a world of terror, of unabated evil, of fear, and injustice. That's what the Bible is about. We learn how to live with paradox, ambiguity, and mystery through embracing the scripture. Now to the how. Let me suggest that there are two requirements to reclaiming the story, the grand narrative of God and humankind. First, paying attention to the form of story itself, beginnings and endings, which we have in scripture. And second, living with purpose and perspective in the meantime, that is, attending to the middle of the story. And here I'm speaking about the structure of narrative, of God's story and our story. Society is preoccupied with matters related to beginnings and endings, the two critical bookends of story. In the beginning was the Word. The biblical creation account has not lost its fascination. Translated into the continued investigations of science and cosmic exploration. You probably read just a few weeks ago that scientists have raised hopes again that the Higgs boson, what some call the God particle, has perhaps been found. Not only creation and the mystery of beginnings obsess us, but the question of where everything is headed anyway never ceases to fascinate as well. In my dad's time, it was a preoccupation with prophecy and theories of how Revelation ought to be interpreted. Today, there's a broad cultural interest in end-of-life matters. Just witness the phenomenal response to the Harvard neurosurgeon's account of his near-death experience. Dr. Alexander's story is an attempt to bring together an understanding of science while at the same time honoring the sphere of the transcendent, the unexplainable. So to really understand a story, we must have a beginning, we must have an ending, but we also must remember the middle. We live in the middle. We live in the now, in the meantime. The Gospels are laced with narrative prompts which signal action in the daily comings and goings of Jesus and his disciples. Remember, now, when, straightway, immediately, behold, and it came to pass, and my favorite, in the meantime. How are we to live in the meantime as a faith community if, as research suggests, the institutional church is losing its effectiveness? The other day at coffee, a Presbyterian friend referred to his denomination's upcoming conference on the topic, the next church. What will the next church look like? What can we expect in a time when the under 30s are leaving the church and not identifying with beloved faith traditions? Diana Butler Bass, American scholar of religion and culture, speaks of an awakening in the church, signs of which she sees already emerging. Her research confirms that while religious commitment in American society is waning, it's a different matter with regard to spirituality. Their interest is strong. Bass's vision of an awakened church is tied to the image of death and resurrection, something new about to be born, signaling, she believes, a hopeful future if we can embrace the possibility of change. It will be up to you, the graduating class of 2013, to help give form and shape to that next church. How will you do that? The night that Diana Butler Bass addressed the decline of religion in America, she gave opportunity for questions at the end. A young man rose in the audience. He had a simple, practical question. What is the role of the pastors in this new time? He asked her. Bass's reply was, you must bring together the stories. The church has a story which must be shared. It is Scripture's grand narrative that allows us to abound in hope rather than to wallow in despair. But leaders must be attuned to the individual also, to be present to and in the realities of our time. Let me suggest that a key to entering into and honoring the stories of our time as you go out into your respective ministries will depend on a reawakening of that quality of compassion which characterized Jesus' ministry. Compassion will require sweeping up into the biblical narrative individual stories, one by one, persons just where they are and where they meet Jesus and where they meet us. In John Paul Lederach's recent work on peacebuilding and the moral imagination, he examines what he defines as the art and discipline of compassion, practical down-to-earth qualities. For example, the art of noticing, paying attention, the ability to find and see the sacred beauty around us, or the art of feeling, true feeling, for another, modeled by Jesus, who often, the scriptures say, was moved with compassion. The art of conversation, of befriending, where curiosity and caring come together in authenticity. Living out the art and disciplines of compassion will inevitably place us in positions of vulnerability at times. We will need to take some risks as we bear witness to God's story of grace and redemption, as we open ourselves to the Spirit's work in the present. This is an exciting time to be a part of a movement which we have yet to more fully discern. We go forth with humility, which, as someone said once, is sometimes merely the knowledge that something is going on that we are too spiritually opaque to get. We take up our work, our responsibilities, and recommit to God's calling with faith that the incarnation remains a vital force in the 21st century. I'd like to conclude with a kind of parable for living in the meantime. The setting is China, Peking University. An eminent U.S. educator was being shown around the campus by the vice chancellor, an acquaintance from their graduate school days at Stanford. The chancellor, Min Wai Fong, led the visitor to a small lake at the center of campus, a beautiful spot. They began walking around the periphery. The chancellor asked his guest if he saw anything unusual about the lake. The educator who tells this story said, I confess that I didn't. The Chinese host explained that the lake was designed so that there was no place on its shore where someone could stand and see all of it. The only way to take in the entire lake, to fully appreciate its spectacular beauty, he said, is to walk around it, viewing it from one vantage point, then another. No one perspective is sufficient for knowing all that one wishes to understand, unquote. Reclaiming the biblical story with its various perspectives will enable us to embrace possibilities, to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit as we seek to live faithfully in the meantime, bearing witness to the good news of hope and wholeness through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please turn again and sing The Journey, the green volume, to number 54.
President Swazendruber, Dr. Snyder, Dean King, faculty, family, and friends. On behalf of the seminary class 2013, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you and to offer a heartfelt word of gratitude for many of you have been part of our journeys. Today, it is intended to be a day for seminary graduates, but the truth is that is not for us seminarians only. It includes our families, friends, communities of faith that have traveled alongside with each one of us. We have moments and memories that all cherish and hold very dear to us. Memories that emerge at the study room and the classroom, or when some of us outside of a campus for the small groups of projects got together, or memories simply originated while laughing and being together. Those moments and memories were also originating in assignments, lectures, class discussions, where we all respectfully agreed or not. We have spoken not only with intellect, but also with our hearts. We learn to value and respect our differences, our Christian traditions, our cultural diversity, expressing the hallways discussions, the potlucks, students and faculty committees, worship styles, and yes, even language. Our differences did not separate us from one another. They brought us close together in Christ's love, for in Christ we are one. Ethnicity, age, gender, ideals, beliefs, and ministerial experience among many other distinctiveness and experiences did not set us apart. On the contrary, it helped us to build a stronger community of people called to ministry, the Eastern Mennonite Seminary community. This, my friends, made us strangers no more. So, it is with mixed emotions that we have arrived to this day. Indeed, there is a lot of joy and gratitude to our family, friends, and to this institution that has nurtured us with patience, love, and care. This institution, EMS, has given us abundantly of their wisdom, formation, experience, gift, and time. This has contributed to make this day actually possible. We are also grateful to our faculty members, those present, those soon leaving to some other direction where the kingdom of God is taking them. Your teachings has equipped us for Christian ministry. We have learned and loved and to serve in a Christ-like manner through their examples. EMS faculty has imprinted us with love for Christ, the church, and for the community abroad. We also are grateful to our fellow seminarians whose journey are near to completion or just begun. You have been part of our journey, studying by our side, witnessing our class presentations in many ways, or when we were arguing about something that either we were not clear about or we just simply disagree with. From the 2013 class, from the bottom of our hearts, we say unto you, thank you. Thank you very much, but keep pressing on. And yes, it is possible to finish seminary training in almost one piece. If I may allow to share this short experience, I am pretty sure that I have signed to obtain a Master of Divinities. However, I am leaving this institution with the conviction that the divine is mastering me. On the other hand, there is a whole community behind each student that is graduating today to whom we are very grateful. Friends, local churches, small groups, and probably some organizations or individuals. I am sure that each one of us has an extended list that is double space, indented with footnotes, containing all the names of those that stood in our corners. To you, we say thank you very much for your prayers, supports in many, many ways. To our local congregations, whether we are members, interns, yes, or maybe we are serving in leadership roles, we say to you, thank you for your prayers, support, and patience as well. We love you very deeply. But there is a special group that deserves our special recognition today, our families. You have traveled alongside with us. There are times when we hardly spoke to each other And yes, when we spoke, we did by citing in Chicago style or quoting a book or a writer. Without your support, your prayers, and your encouragement, this road could have been even bumpier. We cannot possibly even imagine how to repay our families. This accomplishment belongs to you too. We love you with all our hearts, and we thank God for each one of you. Senior class of 2013, I am very grateful to each one of you, for I have learned so much from each of you. You have made my journey secure and my burdens light. My heavy accent became just my accent. Even when I invented words in English, or when I spoke my native language without even noticing it, I learned and respect you a lot. I value your opinions and your insights. You made me feel a stranger no more. As we depart from Eastern Mennonite Seminary, some of us might think that we are done. Not so fast, mister. The Lord has so much in store for each one of us. We are convinced that God has called us to serve him across the board, whether as youth pastor or lead pastor, chaplains, directors, church planters, missionaries, teachers, healing ministry, women's ministry, counseling, leadership roles, and so on. I have no idea what the future really holds for us, but Christ does. But today, let us truly believe that this is the day that the Lord has made for us. And I say unto you and unto me, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us party. Fellow classmates, this is our day. Let us thank God for it. Let us raise our voices and praise his mighty name. Let us go out there with the conviction that the risen Christ is with us and that we have been given all the tools that we need for ministry. Let us depart from this building, trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and leaning not in our own understanding. Let us firmly believe that in Christ we are no longer strangers. My friends, Jesus rocks. Amen.
I think it's possible, Byron, that Jesus rocks has been used in that way for the first time in a seminary commencement. Gracias, hermano, for your kind words on behalf of the graduating class of 2013 as president of the class. Thank you also for the many ways you've exercised leadership, Byron, within the seminary community and beyond during your years here. I also want to thank those of you who served along with Byron as class officers, Helen Punker Robertson, Joan Rainsberger. I'm happy to note that I can now tell you apart. It took 3 years. And James Ackerson. The four of you have served your class well indeed. And we want to thank all of you as an entire senior class for your class gifts of the electric fireplace for the seminary lobby and original artwork by Mary Beliveau. In choosing your gifts, some of you may have heard this, but I'm not sure if you knew it. I don't know if you were aware that a Center for Justice and Peacebuilding student had analyzed the seminary building as part of a class project and concluded that the seminary lobby could be more inviting. Your gifts have delightfully addressed this need and will symbolize the treasures of your time among us in the years to come. For all of you as graduates, this moment represents a special achievement that points to personal discipline, perseverance, hard work, and also, often enough, learning that amid and sometimes even especially within wounds or failure, God's strength can flourish within you. Now is a time to celebrate that achievement. Even as Byron noted the contributions that other individuals have made to your lives, we also thank God for the grace given to each of you to bring you this far. It's indeed through God's grace, not simply through your own efforts, that you have reached this point in your studies and your ability to minister and serve. By the grace of God, as well as exceptional efforts, some of you have done outstanding scholarly work. I'd note that I've long been moved by the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and the many texts in which Jesus stresses that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So I do believe we need to be careful to celebrate those among us who have known poverty of soul or body, brokenness of mind or spirit, failure and loss. We easily turn awards into precisely the status markers the Beatitudes subvert. Yet Jesus does also call forth from his disciples new life and accomplishment from failure, as when he so memorably asks Peter three times whether Peter loves him, and then sends Peter forth to feed his sheep. So we do want to honor the ways God calls forth multiple gifts from among us, and the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary has chosen to honor six of you for work in several different fields of study. As recognition for this distinction, each of you will receive a subscription to a well-respected journal in your field. Each of you will receive a certificate of award along with your diploma this afternoon. I invite each of you to stand when I call your name. Please remain standing until all names are announced, and I suggest that we hold our applause until everyone is recognized. From among those earning the Master of Divinity degree, excellence in your studies of the following: practical theology, pastoral care, and spiritual formation, Dorcas Miller Lehman. Please stand. Biblical studies, Derek King. Theological studies and pastoral care, Randy Keener. From among those earning the Master of Arts in Religion, excellence in your studies of the following: Christianity and Culture, Ben Bixler. Intercultural Transformation, Emily Ralph. Ecclesiology and Leadership for the Missional Church, Terry Zare. We congratulate each of you for your hard work and the ways God has drawn treasures from your studies, passions, and experiences. And now we come to the special moment that many have been anticipating ever since you started your studies, the conferring of your degrees. Upon recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary and upon the approval of the Board of Trustees of Eastern Mennonite University, I present the class of 2013 for the conferring of their degrees. You'll note in your program booklet that the names of the graduates are listed under various degrees. I'll name each group, and we'll be inviting you to stand when your group is named. 13 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Divinity, a three-year degree program of preparation for Christian ministry. Please stand and remain standing, those of you who are MDivs. 4 students have completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Religion, a two-year degree program of academic study of theology. Would you please stand? And 1 student has completed the requirements for the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, a two-year degree program of study with specialization in a particular area of ministry. Would you please stand? We also have listed 5 individuals who have earned certificates for ministry studies and 1 who has earned the certificate in theological studies. The certificates require at least 24 credit hours of graduate study. Although a certificate does not represent the attainment of a degree, it does indicate a significant milestone in ministry or scholarly preparation. We celebrate the achievement of those who have earned certificates by listing their names in the program booklet and invite those of you who are present to stand as well. President Schwarzentruber, I am pleased to present the persons who are now standing for the conferring of their respective degrees.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, and upon the authority vested in me by the University Board of Trustees, the Mennonite Education Agency, and the Commonwealth of Virginia, I confer upon you so presented the degree of Master of Divinity, and upon you so presented the degree of Master of Arts in Religion, and upon you so presented the degree of Master of Arts in Church Leadership, with all the rights, honors, and privileges pertaining thereto. We further endorse you for continuing the ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, and with encouragement to be in covenant with a community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ. You may move your tassels from the right to the left, and you may be seated. And on behalf of Eastern Mennonite Seminary, I wish to recognize those so presented for the intensive study and achievement in completing the requirements of the course prescribed, and therefore award as so presented the Certificate in Ministry Studies and the Certificate in Theological Studies. We further endorse your continuing ministry founded on Christ's call to discipleship, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, and urge you to covenant with a community of faith. Go forth and proclaim Jesus as Christ.
I will read the names of the graduates as they appear in the program. Please hold your applause until all graduates have received their diploma, at which time there will be ample opportunity to celebrate with these graduates. For the Master of Divinity, James R. Okerson. James will continue pastoring Beldor Mennonite Church near Elkton, Virginia, and hopes to continue assisting churches and Virginia Mennonite Conference with organizational planning as opportunities arise. Nathaniel Daniel. Nathaniel will continue to follow God's call to bring U-turn for Christ to Harrisonburg, work to finish the Master of Arts in Conflict Transformation at the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, and work at the Harrisonburg Rockingham Community Services Board. Randall Harold Keener. In the fall, Randy will become a clinical pastoral education resident at Lancaster General Hospital, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Derek Allen King. Beginning in July, Derek will be serving as the transitional interim pastor for Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Dorcas Miller Lehman. Dorcas will continue her work as campus pastor and counselor at Lancaster Mennonite School in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Jonathan David Morningstar. Jonathan will continue as an itinerant pastor, United Methodist Church, in the Susquehanna Conference, and move to the Breezewood Parish on July 1. Byron R. Paetzer. Byron's heart and passion are in leadership development, teaching, mentoring, and coaching, the pastoral role and church planting among people of all colors, accompanied by his best friends, his wife, and his children. Joan F. Rainsberger. Joan is presently co-pastor of First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Winchester, Virginia, where she plans to continue her work in pastoral and congregational ministry, as well as her passion for women's ministry. Helen Witter Robertson. Punker will continue as the pastor of Williamsville Presbyterian Church and Westminster Chapel. Paul Danilo Sanchez. Danilo is actively exploring associate and youth pastor positions in Pennsylvania. Victoria Lyons Squire. Victoria is preparing for provisional membership for ordination and will be serving in an appointment to a church in the Harrisonburg District of the Virginia Conference of the United Methodist Church. She will also continue working with the Apple Valley Mediation Network in Woodstock, Virginia. Kara Elizabeth Yoder. Kara is exploring various vocational options. Joshua Andrew Yorks. Josh will continue as pastor of Calvary United Methodist Church and Waymart Presbyterian Church in Waymart, Pennsylvania. For the Master of Arts in Religion, Benjamin David Bixler. Ben will be exploring academic teaching opportunities and discerning possibilities for PhD studies while providing primary child care for his three children as their family transitions to New Jersey. Linda Lou Askegard Matheny. Linda feels called to further research, reading, writing, friendship listening, and mentoring ministry. Emily Ralph. Emily will be starting a PhD program in missiology this fall at Cliff College in Hope Valley, England. This program includes two trips to England each year and allows her to continue ministering in southeastern Pennsylvania. Terry J. Zare. Terry will continue as Associate Conference Minister for New York Mennonite Conference, giving oversight to multiple congregations. For the Master of Arts in Church Leadership, S. Scott Hackman. Scott will continue to pursue his calling as a leadership coach and consultant with Delaware Valley Family Business Center, where he serves in a leadership role in marketing and mediation in organizations. For the Certificate in Ministry Studies, Thomas Scott Albright. Tom will continue pastoring at Ripple Church in Allentown, Pennsylvania, as well as coordinate the employment training program for students with disabilities at Freedom High School, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Wayne DeFrance Lawton in absentia. Carlos Hernan Madrid. Carlos will continue as a member of the EDA church planting team in Harrisonburg while he continues studies towards the Master of Divinity degree. Linda K. Wenger. Linda is looking for work with adults or older adults that would include pastoral care and spiritual formation. Anne M. Yoder in absentia. For the Certificate in Theological Studies, Audrey Kanegi. Audrey is serving as associate pastor with her husband, who is lead pastor, at Living Light Mennonite Church in Washingtonboro, Pennsylvania. She anticipates ordination in June and continuing studies at EMS towards a Master of Arts in Religion degree. You may now offer your applause to all of these graduates.
Dr. Joni Sanken, Assistant Professor of Preaching and Practical Theology, and Dr. Nathan Yoder, Professor of Church History, will lead a litany of commissioning followed by a hymn. Following the blessing and benediction by Dr. Michael King, Seminary Dean, and Dr. Mark Wenger, Director of Pastoral Studies, please remain standing for the recessional of the faculty and graduates. One announcement, all graduates and your families, along with the faculty and staff, are invited to the President's reception this evening between 8:30 and 10 p.m. in the University Commons Mall.
The Litany of Commissioning is found in the center of your program, just after the order of service for our service today. The Litany of Commissioning, which asks three times for a chorus of the whole. If you would note, we begin with that, and twice on the right-hand page, if you would notice where we invite you to join in. Invite the graduates to stand. Together,
we are citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Remember, at one time you were without Christ.
Being strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world.
Remember, you were dead through the sins in which you lived.
Trapped in addictions and mired in depression.
Discouraged because of your gender or background.
Needing clarity about God's call in your life.
Then you were far off.
But now, in Christ Jesus, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now you are citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Remember, you have been made alive, freed and transformed.
Healed, reconciled and included.
Called and empowered.
Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Remember, you are built upon Abraham and Sarah, Miriam and Moses.
Peter, James, John, Lydia and Paul.
Macrina of Cappadocia and Chrysostom of Antioch and Constantinople.
Martin, Ulrich, and Menno.
Susanna, John, and Charles.
With Christ Jesus himself, the cornerstone.
At one time, dead in your sins.
But now, made alive with Christ.
At one time, strangers and aliens.
But now, brought into the covenants of promise.
At one time, far away.
but now built into a dwelling place for God.
At one time, without Christ, but now citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
We pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit.
We pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge,
so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Now to him who by the power which continues to be at work within you is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Please turn again and sing The Journey, the green volume, to number 49. We will sing the refrain a number of times, the one that's on the left-hand side of the page, and instead of any of the stanzas being sung, the music will continue, and during that time, Michael will read some words from the prophet Isaiah. This is a standing up hymn.
Break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, who calls you by your name. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Form light and create darkness. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. Let the earth open that salvation may spring up, and let it cause righteousness to sprout up also. I, the Lord, have created it.
Amen.
As we prepare to leave this place of worship and celebration, we offer these words of blessing to you graduates. Through the words of the Jesus whom the Lord anointed, receive the good news Jesus offers each of us amid our experiences of oppression, addictions, depressions, broken hearts, and more. Then as ones who have personally known such blessing, who minister as those in whom God's strength is made perfect through human weaknesses, go forth in the Spirit. Go forth in the Lord's anointing. Go forth to any mired in troubles or sins or anxieties or injustices with the good news of welcome into the covenants of promise and the household of God.
Christ be with you, Christ within you, Christ behind you, Christ before you, Christ beside you, Christ to win you, Christ to comfort and restore you, Christ beneath you, Christ above you, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love you, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Go with Christ. Amen.